Let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To be a state of dismal if Parliament does not rise this morning.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre dance. Compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Agogo Obu at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
Nigeria Info. Welcome to Public Square with Rotimi Sankore. My name is Ezugu Chukwudi. I am very certain that every listener of your number one radio station for talk is super excited that this radio program is back on the air. And you know what it is with Rotimi Sankore? You get detailed data analysis and informed commentary. Detailed data analysis and informed commentary. And it's really very, very important that we begin to pay attention to the data. Really very important. Pay attention to the data. And most importantly, informed commentary. Because if we do not know, we would not be in the position to make the right decisions. And when we make the right decisions, or these decisions are from an informed position, it will be very easy to gauge the contribution of our quota as Nigerian citizens in order to ensure that our country is better off for it. Now, I have on the line Rotimi Sankore. I'm hoping that I can still connect with him. Something about technology and a challenge that we are contending with, but I'm hoping that I'll connect with him and then we would have this conversation. Hello, Rotimi. Okay, so I'll try as much as I can to see how I can get him back on the line so that we can carry on with this conversation. But on the show today, we're going to be discussing something really very important, and I would like every of our listener to pay rapt attention. It's really very, very important that you do so. Now, this special edition of the program focuses on World Youth Skills Day. Listen, oh, World Youth Skills Day. In 2014, the United Nations General Assembly declared the 15th day in the month of July as World Youth Skills Day. And this declaration was to celebrate the strategic importance of equipping young people with skills for employment, decent work, and entrepreneurship. Remember, in 2014, the United Nations General Assembly, you know, just thought about this very laudable or brilliant idea and said, let us make July the 15th World Youth Skills Day. And this is to celebrate the strategic importance of equipping young people with skills for employment, decent work, and entrepreneurship. Now, in 2023, the theme for World Youth Skills Day is skilling teachers, trainers, and youth for a transformative future. Skilling teachers, trainers, and youth for a transformative future. Now, this highlights the essential role that teachers, trainers, and other educators play in providing skills for youth to transition to the labor market and to actively engage in their communities and societies. This program is supported by the Africa Center for Development Journalism, the Collaborative Media Project, and the MacArthur Foundation. Now, you can connect with us on the program and share your thoughts. We're on Twitter at Rotimi Sankore and at Public Square NG, spelled one word, Public Square NG, and at Nigeria Info FM. I'm going to try as much as I can to ensure that today we keep it short, sharp, and simple with a detailed analysis so that we can accommodate as many feedback as possible. So please, I would like you to bear with us. We're going to have an interesting and engaging conversation, and you're going to play a very important role on the show today. Remember, July the 15th, World Youth Skills Day, and this is to celebrate the strategic importance of equipping young people with skills for employment, decent work, and entrepreneurship. Hopefully, I can connect with Rotimi right now. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Chukwudi.
I can hear you loud and clear. Good evening and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Now, let us just delve straight into the conversation. Why is World Youth Skills Day relevant to Nigeria and to improved governance?
Well, Chukwudi, as always, it has to do with the data. And if you haven't seen the program promo on Twitter, you know, which you can see at my handle at Rotimi Sankore, or at Public Square NG, or at Nigeria Info FM. Let me just go over the data. Nigeria is in a sad position of having 20 million out of school children. And that means essentially that, I mean, these are children that will not have any skills once they grow up. Remember, out of school children are between the ages of 6 and 16 years old. The unemployment in Nigeria stands at 33%, which is the highest in the world. The youth unemployment specifically in Nigeria is 53%, which is second highest globally. We also have 60 million Nigerians that are considered illiterate. In other words, no reading and writing skills. These and more is what has landed us in 63% of the population being in multidimensional poverty. In other words, 133 million people are in multidimensional poverty. Now, remember, these are official figures from the Bureau of Statistics, the Ministry of Education. So they are official figures. They are not made up. When you have this kind of numbers, if you leave it like this and pray that nothing will happen, your prayer will not be answered, because already you can see the path the country is walking down into. I mean, nobody needs to enlighten anybody too much in Nigeria on the level of bandit activity, extremist activity, militia activity, agbero activity, and so forth like that. So nobody needs to enlighten you, but you can already see the path that we are walking down. And anybody who has been listening to Nigeria Info throughout this week would have already heard the fears of parents and guardians that their children may even drop out of school, because the primary and secondary schools, and by the way, in Lagos, primary and secondary schools that are private are over 70%. In fact, some people estimate as much as 90% of the primary and secondary schools in Lagos are private, between 70 and 90. So they have to make profit. Now, if the school bus money goes up and your pay has not gone up, that means you have to wake at 5 with your 6 or 7 year old child and trek to the school.
Thank goodness.
If you can manage to, in the rain. You are not even talking of the main fees that have gone up. So, on World Youth Skills Day, which, as you have said, Chukwudi, in the introduction, is commemorated globally. The relevance to Nigeria is already you have millions of youth that have not been provided with the skills. There are millions more at risk of not being provided with the skills. So this is why we have to discuss it. We have to try and avert this possibility of Nigeria turning into Somalia or Afghanistan.
Interesting. Now, so when we take a cursory look at the data, it's really very, very mind-boggling. Like you have mentioned, 6 to 16 years we're looking at out of school children, 20 million of them. Unemployment rate, 33%. Youth unemployment, really very problematic. 60 million people considered to be illiterate. And we have looked at the numbers of people who fall under this category of multidimensional poor persons. It's really very disturbing. But, I mean, July 15th is a reminder or some sort of call to action that when we understand the data, you know, listen to people who are informed and do the right things, we're going to at least be able to, you know, correct this situation. Now, let's talk about skills and what skills exactly we are looking at for the Nigerian youth.
The skills we are looking for are really serious skills. You know, not this thing that some of the policymakers do. They say they want to empower the youth. They go and buy
wheelbarrow.
Yes, they go and buy like wheelbarrow. Oh, you took it straight out of my mouth. 100 wheelbarrow and shamelessly display it in front of their constituency office with a pepper grinding machine. You know, that's how they want to empower. Those are not the kind of skills that we are looking for. I mean, let's break it into public and private sector. So let us start with private sector. For any country to be considered a manufacturing giant, say like China or South Korea, and so forth like that, you need precision skills. And these precision skills are the kind of skills that has made China the manufacturer of the world. So the microwave machines that you buy in the market, the smartphones, the computers, the TV sets, you know, the fridge and freezer, the photocopier, the vehicles, and so forth like that. I mean, this is why, if you look to South Korea or China, these are the kind of skilled workers that they have that attract companies to go to those places and say, we want to set up a factory there so that they can manufacture those kind of things. So these are high precision skills. High precision skills. So when you are talking of skilled workers today, you know, I mean, you are not talking, and I'm not saying that those working in the soft drink factory in Ikeja are not skilled. They are, but those are not really sustainable jobs, because once people cannot afford sugar water anymore, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so these are the kind of skilled, you know, now these skills we have talked about relate to consumer items, electronics, vehicles, and so forth, but also heavy industry. Heavy industry. We need the capacity to manufacture trains in Nigeria. We need the capacity to manufacture buses in Nigeria. We need the capacity to manufacture aircraft in Nigeria. You know, the people on the assembly line doing this in China and South Korea, or even in Brazil and India, they are not necessarily university graduates. They are not necessarily engineers. I mean, engineers coordinate the work, but they are skilled technicians. Now, if we don't have those level of skilled technicians, we are never going to industrialize. So in the private sector, these are the kind of skills that we are looking at. And not just to manufacture, but to maintain those things. So, for instance, if you go to a developed country, your vehicle needs an MOT. You drive into a garage where the chief mechanic is certified, has certificates from a school to deal with Mercedes, BMW, Toyota, and so forth like that. And you will see, oh, what kind of vehicles do you maintain here? And they will show you. And so my technicians are certified as well. They plug it into the computer, it runs it, it tells you what the problem is. If they don't have the parts already, they just order it, they say we'll have it in 4 days. And that's it. And your car will be as good as new. And that's why when we get a 15-year-old Tokumbo car here, it looks as good as new. Mm. 2 years on Nigerian road, I mean, it looks as if an elephant sat on it. So, manufacturing, maintenance. In the public sector, for instance, even if private sector is involved in providing all those kind of public utilities like electricity, mm-hmm. like pipe-borne water, and so forth like that, you need skilled workers to be able to manufacture the substations, to manufacture the transformers, and all the equipment you need. And that's why I always remind people that the global standard for electricity is 1,000 megawatts per 1 million people. So for a country that is over 200,000, yes. So for Nigeria, we should be at 200,000 megawatts. We're at 5,000. The GenCos even say they have the capacity to generate at least 10 to 12,000. But it can be distributed. You put it on the distribution line, the grid collapses. One of the reasons for this is if anybody comes from Jupiter today and gives us all the equipment that we need to meet that 200,000 megawatts, in 6 months, half of it will collapse. Because the government has not thought it necessary since independence to channel students, to enlighten students, to say, oh, we need technicians for the power sector. We need people who can fabricate, we need people who can fix, and so forth like that. So this is one of the reasons why we have this, what we call radar, papa nonsense in Nigeria. High current, low current, sometimes you disappear, sometimes you won't have for 6 months. The skills are not there. Never mind the equipment. So we need the skills to maintain the public sector. I mean, one of the housing ministers said there is no low-cost housing because there is no low-cost material. Who told him? Who told him so? You will get the low-cost material if you manufacture the items you need in your country. And you can do it through technology transfer. So all these prefabricated, if you go to China, I mean, if you go to China for a meeting, conference, whatever, you check into a hotel. If you stay 1 week there, you will see a building that starts from scratch the day you arrive. The following weekend, it's at 10 stories already. And that is because a lot of the material is prefabricated. They are just using cranes and things to join everything together. You know, here, if you want to build, you are going to get unskilled bricklayer. You will be standing there supervising the person so that they won't cheat you or so that something won't go wrong. You can see even buildings in Banana Island that they are building are collapsing. No standard. And that is because for a lot of these things, you don't need to build it from scratch. If it is prefabricated, then the standard is set already. You know, so in terms of different areas of life, we need people that are skilled, that are trained, that are certified. The same thing with pipe-borne water. You need water engineers. You need technicians to put the pipes together. You need people to maintain the water treatment plants. Look at the number of microbiologists that we have in Nigeria that have graduated. What are they doing? We don't have pipe-borne water. We have unemployed microbiologists. I mean, can you imagine the nonsense? So, you know, skilled workers from different sectors, different levels. I mean, we can do 24 hours on the kind of skilled workers that we should be prioritizing in the public and private sector. But I've just tried to summarize it.
Yes.
Because, I mean, some people come and say, there is no work. There is no work because it has not been prioritized. Because if you understand the trajectory of economic growth, you will say, oh, so we are 50 million now. So at that 50 million, we should be at X, you know, 1,000 megawatts. Oh, in so-so year, we are going to be 100 million. So at that 100 million, we need 100,000 megawatts. So we need to start training 15 to 20 years in advance. We need to go to the primary schools and let the children know that there are opportunities in the power sector. And alongside that, we are making those opportunities available.
By
ensuring that you are manufacturing in your country the substations, the transformers and things. Look, generations of children have grown up in Nigeria that have taken it as God-given that substation cannot be manufactured in their country, that ship cannot be manufactured in their country, that aircraft cannot be manufactured in their country, that the smartphone they are using cannot be manufactured in their country, that, you know, fridge, freezer, and, you know, generators cannot be manufactured in their country if they need it.
Interesting.
Generations of children have grown up to take it as God-given.
Now, I am certain that, you know, people listening to the show would listen to when you were, you know, talking about sectors of the economy that we should prioritize. You did not even talk about pencils and erasers or sharpeners. You went straight to trains, you know. We're talking about housing. We're talking about food, agriculture. And some people would look at it and say, it would appear like we have not even started from the basics or the one that our hand can reach, in quote, you know, like they say in the streets. We never start from the one when our hand feel rich, now the big, big one. But like you mentioned last week, it's important to have this understanding and look at the various levels or tiers of government and know where to begin from. Now, still talking about skills and the youth, I'm going to talk about, you know, how we can provide these skills to the youth at national, state, and local government levels. First, is it even possible?
Of course it is possible, but I mean, we have something called disconnected government in Nigeria. Completely, the three tiers are disconnected from each other, and the three tiers are disconnected from reality. Now, if you want engineers, technicians, and other levels of skilled workers, you start from primary school. So the local governments and the state governments that are responsible for primary and secondary school should know what they should be doing at that level. If they don't know, the federal government should be guiding them on what should be done. That is why it is a federal country. Now, I mean, I don't want to say anything about the former Minister of Education because there is almost nothing good to say about his performance. This is somebody that came out and told us that there are 60 million Nigerians that don't have reading and writing skills. And he didn't tell us what he was going to do about it. And he sat in that office earning money until he left. You know, between him and the Minister of Labor, honestly, I don't know who is worse. Because those two positions, education and labor and employment, those should be the two most important positions in any country. Because that is what drives the country. In terms of skills, education, labor and employment. Between the two of them, they should be coordinating. Where do we have the skills gaps? What is the level of the skills gaps? Then they turn to the infrastructure people. What are the infrastructure deficits that we have? What kind of skills do we need to be able to build that kind of infrastructure and maintain it? Do you see any Nigerian company going to build road in China or going to build railway line in China? You know, I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. And they will come and make an announcement. They will sit down, adjust their jacket and tie, and tell you, I've just come back from China. Offender pointing at himself. You just came back from China. You went there to do what? What were you doing here? What couldn't you have done here? So, you know, from the entire pipeline does not work. They need to go to the local government, to the state government, and say, we have XYZ skills gap. We have XYZ skills deficit. Do you have, you know, do we have guidance? Do we have the counselors at the primary school level to be able to channel the kids? When I was in primary school, I went to primary school in Ikoyi on McQueen Road off Queens Drive. But we trekked to Sangros, Okesuna, because they had technical workshops there for woodwork and metal work. We had school bus, or free school bus, but we had some innovative teachers who felt, you have to see Lagos as it is. You Ikoyi children. So we will trek, go through Falomo, Obalende, and so forth, go there and interact with kids from other schools to the extent that within a few terms, we could fix everything. Your bench break, you know how to fix it. Anything metal, you know how to fix it. We learned all those things in primary school. In primary school. Those things don't exist anymore. They should have improved on those things. If you go to places like China now, secondary school students are building radio as part of their homework. They are building electronics as part of their homework. Secondary school students. They just give them the task. The school will give them some of the equipment. The rest, they can go and buy in the market. And then you put everything together and you come and present it in the class. So it is at that level that these skills are driven. Oh, you want to be a doctor? These are the skills that you need. Remember, I've said we need about 500,000 doctors for our population size. We've only trained less than 80,000. And of that 80,000, about 35,000 have left the country. And more are leaving every week. Because they don't have the equipment to work with. Why don't they have the equipment to work with? Because we don't manufacture the equipment in Nigeria. Why can't we manufacture the equipment in Nigeria? Because no skills to do so. No skills to do so. So those skills need to be... When in Nigeria have all the commissioners of education met before? When have they met before? To say, these are the kind of skills education we need to, impart to the young people. Instead, what you see is the commissioners of police are meeting. When the education commissioners have never met before, the youth commissioners have never met before, and there are no skills, why won't the commissioners of police be meeting to fight the youth that are unemployed?
And it's really very
interesting. So, this level of coordination is absolutely crucial. I'm sorry, there is one more thing to say.
Okay.
Now, at the state, local, and national level,
good,
there are different kind of skills that need to be localized. For instance, somebody living in the desert, you are not going to be teaching the person fishing skills.
Exactly.
Somebody where there is no land to grow, you are not going to be teaching the person farming skills. And when I say fishing or farming skills, I'm not talking of cassava with hand. You need to teach people agribusiness, large scale, tractors, storage, processing, manufacturing. So that if the person has X hectares of land, whether they're in a cooperative or whether they got somebody to invest in it, they are mechanizing it, they can store the food. If it is grains, if it is fisheries and things, they have electricity to do cold storage. They can process it, they can package it, they can sell nationally, they can export, and so forth like that. So in that context, states have a big role to play, taking advantage of the natural resources they have. So you see, we have so many natural resources, not just oil and gas. But they can't take advantage of it. Just, you know, Google is your friend. Just search the internet. You will see the states that have everything. They can't take advantage of it because the skills are not there. The state governments have not made the investments. And then they will be saying that the youth are lazy. Who told them the youth are lazy? Mm. If you provide the education and the skills and the investment, you will see that all the youth are going to prosper.
Very important claim. If you provide all that is needed, you will definitely see that the youths would prosper. Now, I would, you know, come to asking about how this would help regarding crucial public services like education, health, electricity, roads, and transport. So we would get back to the conversation and, you know, just carry on with the questions. But please keep in mind that this is a special edition of Public Square and the focus is on World Youth Skills Day, which in 2014, the United Nations General Assembly declared 15th of July as World Youth Skills Day. And this is to celebrate the strategic importance of equipping young people with skills for employment, decent work, and entrepreneurship. Now, the theme for 2023 World Youth Skills Day is skilling teachers, trainers, and youth for a transformative future. And Rotimi has given us detailed commentary on, you know, why World Youth Skills Day is relevant to Nigeria and to improved governance, the kind of skills that we are looking at for young Nigerians, the sectors of the economy that we should prioritize in the public and private sector, and also how we can provide these skills to the youth at national, state, and local government levels. Now, before we talk about how this is crucial, when we talk about public services like education, health, electricity, roads, transport, it is interesting that you mentioned that, you know, as a primary school student in Nigeria, you know, some of these hands-on skills were things that, you know, young Nigerians used to get involved with. I recall as a student of Ajumoni Grammar School so many years ago, junior secondary school, in the subject called Introductory Technology, you know, we used to try our hands on simple skills. But it would appear like in this age and time, these are no longer part of our curriculum. Is it a problem of evolution of our curriculum, or we are just not getting it right?
Well, I mean, you need skilled teachers to transfer skills. So, I mean, this is why we are looking at how this will impact on the public sector. So, for instance, at primary and secondary level, you want to start teaching kids how to do technical work. You need teachers that understand the technical work to teach them. So if you have 5 million children enrolling for primary school every year, which is short, by the way, 7.9 million children estimated being born in Nigeria annually, for the last few years, no more than 5 million have enrolled in primary school. And by the time you get to the senior WAEC, only about 2.5 million are left. Now, I mean, if you look at the Public Square NG handle on Twitter, there's an interesting story there in today's Daily Trust saying that there are some schools just in next door Ogun State there that have almost 1,000 children per class.
1,000 children per class.
I mean, what? Yes. I mean, when I saw it, I said, is this a typographic error? I mean, are the colleagues sure of what they are saying? You know? Now, but we know that definitely, you know, if you go around Nigeria, there are states that have average class size of over 100 children per class. By UNESCO standard, those class sizes should not be more than 20 to 25. So what does it tell you? It tells you, first of all, that you don't have enough teachers. We are not now talking of the skill level of the teachers. What are they teaching in the teacher training colleges? Are they teaching them vocational skills, technical skills that they can transfer to the children? So regardless of whether the children can, want, or are able to go on to university or not, say they want to go to polytechnic, if they've learned all these skills from when they are primary, in primary and secondary school, and they go to polytechnic, then it is not difficult for them to fabricate. I once visited India and went around to look at some of the factories and some of the schools. And they told me that a lot of the skilled workers that they got were coming from the polytechnics, even the Indian space program. Mm. It is the polytechnics that we are training, most of them, the technicians there. I mean, their space work program is not as sophisticated as the Americans or the Chinese. But the technicians that they have there, we are coming from the polytechnics, not the engineers or the technicians. Go to any polytechnic in Nigeria now and tell us that the teachers have been empowered with the skills to teach the students so much that they can go and work on Nigeria's space program. Mm. The space agency in Abuja there is running on generator. The day I saw it, I was laughing. In a generator, they won't take launch rockets. And when the rocket is on the way to the moon and NEPA takes light and we are disconnected from the astronauts, what happens? Or there, you know, or suddenly there is no diesel. So, I mean, we really need to understand that level of technical proficiency starts in primary and secondary school so that the kids are not scared. To learn about the level of precision that they need if they want to go to polytechnic, if they want to go and learn about electronics, about computers, about fabrication and so forth like that. Even in the universities, the engineering departments don't necessarily have lecturers that have the skills, that have been trained to have the skills. And those who have the skills don't have the equipment to impart the knowledge. Mm. So you can see that even from the education sector, there is currently not the capacity to impart the skills to the youth. And what that means is that the public sector services, the trains, the buses, the bridges, the airlines, and so forth like that, all those things are going to suffer, the health sector. Mm. So one of the reasons why we have poor public services in Nigeria is that the kids, there is nobody to counsel them as per career. If you want to be this, there is an opportunity there for it. If you want to be this, this is what you need to learn at this level. And this is where you will learn it.
If we take a look at Nigeria's population demography, there are so many young people, and it is clear that if these people are skilled, they would contribute to the overall growth of the economy. But it would be nice to know how these youth skills would help grow the overall economy in a sustainable and structured way.
Well, let me just give one simple example. So if you have, for instance, 100 million young people working in car manufacturing, ship building, aeroplane building, train building, and things like that, these are long-term skilled jobs. You know, you go to the polytechnic or you go to the vocational school where you'll be certified, or you go to the university where you're going to. These are long-term skilled jobs. Those jobs are almost guaranteed for 30, 40, 50 years. And these jobs are well-paying jobs. If you go to most developed countries, a train driver earns roughly the same as a junior doctor. Mm. Across Europe, if you've been trained and certified and you've been driving a train, those high-speed trains, for about 10 or 15 years, you'll be earning about 30 to 40 to 50,000 euros, depending on your level. An average, you know, doctor or lawyer is going to earn the same thing unless the person is really specialized at consultancy level, or if you're a lawyer, you know, you are really skilled at, say, maritime law or space law or something like that. You have a niche there, or human rights law. So, but if you are just an average lawyer, a train driver, you will be earning roughly the same as the person, 30, 40, 50,000 euros. What does this mean if you multiply that by train driver, by bus driver, by the people working in aerospace, the people manufacturing ships, the people manufacturing all these refrigerators and all these consumer items, smartphones, computers that we are importing into Nigeria? That's how to grow the economy. Why? Because they have disposable income. And if 100 million skilled workers have disposable income, it means they can buy more. And if they can buy more, it means that people in the garment industry, the textile industry, and so forth, will also have work to do.
Very true.
And that also means, for instance, that you can set up things like long-term mortgages. So if you start working at, say, 25, you can take out a mortgage for 20 years. Because that person works in the place where they are building aeroplanes.
Mm.
The job is more or less guaranteed. They give you the credit facility there. And that's why when somebody jackpot within 2 or 3 years, they take picture and send. You see the inside of their flat. You see their nice car. They just all those things are not necessarily bought because they have the cash up front.
Mm.
The house they bought, you know, they didn't buy the house for 70 million cash. It's a mortgage, 20, 25 years. Because they have the skills for a specific set of industry. That means the economy is more stable. So when you see ministers coming out to tell us that, you know, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, rest assured, those people have no business in that position. So you grow the economy by a strong base of skilled workers in different sectors. And this is where the question of ideology comes in. What is the ideological orientation of the government at national, state, and local level? Are they oriented towards providing skills for a stable economy? If they don't have that ideological orientation, then what you have is poor governance and corruption, because they present the budget, they approve it, and they use the budget for nothing. Then they whack the money.
This is really very interesting. And, you know, the next question is essentially about youth skills and skilled jobs, reducing various inequalities and poverty. But I'd like to tie this to a question that has come in on our WhatsApp platform. It would appear like, you know, this person took this question right out of my mouth. Now, this contributor is asking if you can give your opinion on why skills like apprenticeship won't really get that level of respect in terms of wages like in developed countries. He says, like plumbers earning well, mechanics, carpenters, could it be the quality of their jobs, the value of the currency, or the major focus on degrees and theoretical learning?
Well, I mean, Chukwu, as you know, and as I always say, so that it's not just a question of theory.
Yes.
I've been unfortunate to work and live outside Nigeria for about 20 years. Mm. Unfortunate because it gives you a better idea of how things should be. And then when you're in Nigeria, almost everything gives you headache.
Mm.
Now, people with those kind of skills, the plumbers, the electricians, and so forth, they go to, you know, they are certified.
Mm.
They study these things. They understand physics. They understand chemistry.
Mm.
Many of them are employed by building firms. Oh, you know, you want to you build a 20-story building. So you go to the firm that has certified electricians there. So that the 20-story building does not burn down. So that everything is right. The conduit is right. The cables are right. The breakers are right. They understand what they are doing in the place.
So it's a skilled job. It's not like you know Sabi Book. Go learn Foga. Go learn.
No. It's a skilled job. It's a skilled job. You didn't go to university to be an electrical engineer, but you are a technician, a skilled one. So you meet with the builders, you know, what kind of building is it? They show you everything and you say, okay, this is the standard recommended for that building. This is the kind of cable. This is the kind of this is the kind of that. And then you cost it. And then they give your firm the job. And then you go to your 20, 30 or 40 trained staff who are all certified electricians. And you say, okay, we got the job for that 20-story building. This is when we start, this is when we stop. And so then you order all the materials. Everybody is certified. If you are not in a big firm and you are in Smith and Sons or whatever it is, it's three or four of you, you are doing small, small jobs, you are still certified. You have your van with your company name on it. If you open the back of the van, you see all the equipment there. You know the person knows what they are doing. The same thing with plumbing. The same thing with, you know. So these are skilled jobs with 20, 30, 40-year careers built into it. All those skyscrapers you see in Hollywood movies and things, they are people that service them. They have service contracts. Oh, after X, Y, Z and time, you come and check all the electricals to make sure everything is okay. The ones that are changing, you change it. Some people are servicing the plumbing in the 10 or 20-story buildings, 50 of them in one particular part of New York. And so forth like that. So it's not it's not what we call Ishe Owo, you know,
Koma
in
way.
Which case, yes.
They'll say the person is not smart. So go and lay handwork under Baba Yakubu.
Yes. But if those skills are certified, you will suddenly discover that all these people they are looking down on are incredibly intelligent people.
Very true.
Because they will have solutions to almost everything.
We have another message here on WhatsApp. This is from Fendi Mendieta, all the way from Austin, Texas, in the United States of America. He says, even barbing is a skilled job. You go to school over here to learn how to cut hair. You get certified to cut hair. So it would appear like that skill is what is lacking in our situation. And that is why some people feel some type of way when they are addressed as, plumber, mason, and people begin to, it's like an embarrassment when somebody introduces himself as a plumber, because you feel like people are going to laugh at you. But from your explanation, this detailed commentary, it is clear that, you know, when you get that skill, it's not just they do am because he won't do am or he not get waiting to do. You would put in work and definitely become proficient in, you know, in discharging that service.
You see, Chukwu, the irony of this is that it is mostly in underdeveloped countries that they look down on electricians and plumbers and people like that. You know, in a developed country, if somebody says, "What do you do?" and I say, "Oh, I'm an auto mechanic. I own an auto mechanic shop. We fix this brand, that brand, that brand, that brand. If you have problem, just send your car down." No one is going to look down on them because they know how much they earn. Auto mechanics drive some of the best cars. because they fix them, you know, they buy them, they do, you know, and that is what they enjoy. That is what they learned. In underdeveloped country, the mechanic has cornered one small piece of land there. And how you know that there is a mechanic there is that there are about 10 abandoned cars that can't work anymore. In any sane society, you see 10 abandoned cars that can't work, you take your own there. You know, because they've not been provided with the skills.
Mm.
And they've not been provided with the investments that they can use to buy everything for the auto mechanic workshop, where they're also going to employ 4, 5, 6, or 10 people, depending on how big it is. So really, what you have is young people improvising, trying to learn things themselves. Or parents will say, oh, we don't have money. You know, go and learn vulcanizer work. Mm. And funny things like that, you know. So if you see in the areas where your skills can retail at a higher price, say like in acting, like in singing, like in football, and so forth. So you see, the Victor Osimhen, the Bonner Boys, the Wizkids, you know, and all these people playing in the Premier League, playing basketball. I mean, these are individual skills
mm-hmm.
that they've harnessed and learned themselves.
Very true.
Whereas in a developed country, I mean, you may remember Chukwudi. There was a time when Bonner Boy won an award, and the governor from his home state
yes.
gave him some amount of money. And I was complaining. I said, what is this nonsense? The guy doesn't need the money. He's on the trajectory to make enough money to look after himself. Mm. Why didn't the governor start a school of performing arts in the school and name it after Bonner Boy?
Mm. Mm.
So you see all this, you know, there. If you see so many of these superstars that you see globally, they went to schools of performing arts. There are some that went on YouTube and sang well, and some talent manager discovered them.
Mm.
But there are many of them, they started in Mickey Mouse Club, they went to all kinds of performing, you know, school, they learned to sing, they learned to play piano, they learned to dance, they learned to do this and so forth. So you can see the quality of their talent.
Very true. Now it's really...
Go on. Sorry, go ahead, please.
Oh, okay, it's really very interesting, you know, why when we look at some of these problems, the answers are really very, very staring us in the face. And if we don't do the right thing, we're going to just keep going around in circles. Before I ask the very obvious question of the consequences of not providing skills to the Nigerian youth, there are tons of messages on our WhatsApp. You know, people sending messages. There's this interesting one. Tayo from Mushi says, when you call yourself a tailor, they look down on you until you call yourself a fashion designer. I guess this, you know, explains that situation. So many messages. In fact, there's an interesting one. Somebody says, the Nigeria Labour Congress and TUC should build technical colleges in various sectors and stop fighting for salary increments alone. Membership contributions are enough to improve our economy. That message is from Bob Ken from Agbado. Okwe from Bega says, to learn these skills needed for economic growth and development, graduates from these schools should be certified and well remunerated as university graduates. Whoever cares for university education should take loans for it. You know, so many messages, and you know, people are thanking you for the insight that you have shared with respect to this situation. And I think it's a pointer to the fact that, like I mentioned in my introduction, if we are aware of certain things, we're not going to be faced with certain situations. When people become skilled and, you know, they have that, they are empowered to add value, nobody would look down on them, and they would definitely earn and get their deserved pay. But we have to head out for a quick recap of the news. When we return, we'll carry on with the conversation. I'd ask that obvious question of the consequences of not providing skills to the Nigerian youth before we now take reactions from our listeners. Stay tuned to 99.3 FM, Nigeria Info.
Let's talk. Let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
The youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this Bisma, if Parliament does not rise this morning.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre dance. Compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Agogo Obu at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Public Square will be right back.
Welcome back to Public Square on 99.3 FM, Nigeria Info. Today's episode is a special program, and it is focused on World Youth Skills Day. You would recall that I mentioned in my introduction that in 2014, the United Nations General Assembly declared the 15th of July as World Youth Skills Day. And this is to celebrate the strategic importance of equipping young people with skills for employment, decent work and entrepreneurship. The theme for World Youth Skills Day 2023 is Skilling Teachers, Trainers and Youth for a Transformative Future. I mentioned that the program is supported by the Africa Center for Development Journalism, the Collaborative Media Project and the MacArthur Foundation. And Rotimi has provided informed commentary and data analysis, and you know, we have looked at why World Youth Skills Day is relevant to Nigeria and to improve governance, what kind of skills we are looking at for Nigerian youth, and sectors of the economy that we should prioritize in public and private sector, how we can provide these skills to the youth at the national, state, and local government levels, how this helps regarding crucial public services like education, health, electricity, roads, transport, and the likes, how youth skills help grow the overall economy in a sustainable and structured way, and how youth skills and skilled jobs reduce various inequalities and poverty. Now, I mentioned that I was going to ask an obvious question. I'm very certain that you would understand why I say it's an obvious question. And I'd ask this question, then we head back to the phone lines because there are tons of messages. What are the consequences of not providing skills to the Nigerian youth?
Hello, Rotimi.
Something about the phone, something about...
I'm with you.
All right. All right. So, the... I'm asking the consequences of not providing skills to the Nigerian youth.
Well, I mean, let us start from Lagos. I mean, if listeners recall, I mean, just this week alone, on Nigeria Info, people were being very specific when they were calling to complain about a growing number of agbero around Bega and places like that on different programs. Now, I mean, you just look and you can tell immediately these are unskilled youths. So if they have no training, no primary, no secondary education, and they are not trained in any other skills. And by the way, to be able to maximize your vocational skills, you do need primary and secondary education. Right. So this idea that if you are going to vocational, you don't need primary and secondary education, that's a joke. That's not true. If you are going vocational, you still need primary and secondary education. So, I mean, that's just in Lagos, the Agbero, you know, the 1 million boys, you know, the, and I'm not even talking of the celebrity Agbero, you know, there are a few celebrity Agbero on Instagram, you know, that have managed to extort money from everybody. And there can only be a few of those at a time.
True.
Now, if you look at the herder farmer conflict, those herders are unskilled youths, which in any developed country, they will be working on a ranch.
Mm.
they would have studied something about ranch management, veterinary, or whatever, even if it's just up to secondary school level. They will be earning, if they are in Texas, for instance, where there are a lot of ranch hands, maybe $30,000-$35,000 a year as ranch hands. But they will not be going through farms and villages burning half of Texas down.
Very
because true. You know they because they want their cattle to eat in other people's farm, or they need their cattle to get to the River Benue, and everybody in the way then has to be cleared.
Mm.
So there are consequences. I mean, these children are not just born and they decide that, you know, that they are going to be cattle herders and they are going to be burning down villages. This is a large systemic problem. It's a failure of governance. Say, in the north, there is a lot of land, there are a lot of cattle. How do we raise this cattle in such a way that there are peace and development? Then you provide the investment opportunity for business people, and you provide the training opportunity for the young people. And then you have more peace and development.
Mm.
Now, when the thing happens, you see the government shouting, we are not going to tolerate this anymore. The service chiefs have been contacted. They are going to send two battalions. The commissioner of police has issued a threat. Anybody that... It keeps on happening.
The perpetrators
it keeps on happening. It keeps on happening because there are more and more and more of them that have no idea of how the cattle will be fed unless they feed in people's farm.
Mm.
That's the limit of their thinking.
Mm.
Because they have no education. They have no skills. They say, the River Benue is there. This is the road to the River Benue. Everybody in the way has to be cleared. I mean, people thinking at such low levels because the governance has abandoned them and reduced them to the level of animals.
Mm. In a developed country,
those cows will be in ranches as big as small elephants, providing milk, ice cream, cheese. I mean, you can see all those cows in Denmark and Sweden and all those places where your favorite milk brand comes from. You see the size of those cows there. You see the farmer standing by the cow, how robust the person looks beside a huge cow. You can see everything, the entire process of milking, of ice cream manufacturing, of cheese manufacturing, and they're exporting billions of dollars to countries like Nigeria,
mm.
where the governance is poor, the skills have not been provided. We've spoken enough of the bandits or the extremists, those 20 million children out of school that I'm talking about in the program promo. Where do we think they are going to end up? We are still complaining about the bandits now, no? We have 20 million children aged 6 to 16 that cannot read or write, not to talk of skills. When they grew up, somebody will be complaining that, in fact, they thought the service chiefs before were useless. The ones then are even more useless than that. They should be sacked immediately. They should be replaced. Ex-general is going to guarantee peace, and so on and so forth, like that. In the most peaceful countries, do they have 20 million out-of-school children?
Mm.
They don't. Do they have 60 million that can't read and write? They don't. And so forth like that. So the data can already show us where these problems are going to end up. Those 2 million children out of school in Lagos, when they finally grow up, somebody will come and be asking a funny question. How did that celebrity Agbero that interfered in the election acquire so much power? Yes, the person acquired so much power because the person now has 2 million extra troops under him. That's how he acquired the power. And the people that didn't send him to school and the 2 million out of school will then take advantage.
Interesting. Very true. Our phone lines are ringing.
And then people and then people will be puzzled, you know. So, honestly, Chukwudi, the amount of skills that Nigerian youth have that are not being harnessed. It is extremely painful to see. There is no country that I have been to, and I have been to many, dozens of countries. There is none of them that have youth as creative as Nigerian youth. The difference is that they have the opportunity. Mm. There is better governance.
Interesting. Our phone lines are ringing.
So these are the things that we need to be paying at. Because when we say we need better governance at sub-national level, this is what we are talking about.
Very true.
That at the local government and state level, they need to meet their responsibility to provide, in the first instance, primary and secondary education, which are the bedrock for either vocational or tertiary education. The most developed countries in the world, what is their biggest strength? Skills. China, South Korea, places like that. It is skills. Skills. Skills for boys, skills for girls.
Very true. Our phone lines are ringing, and I mean, I would like to get our listening audience to join in the conversation. 0700-993-993-993. The women-only line, 01465-7190. Reach out to me, share your thoughts. Tell me your name, where you're calling from, and straight to the point. Now, this message is from Hassan. Hassan is reaching out from Canada. He says, God bless Rotimi. He is stating facts. I am based in Canada, but I studied accounting in Nigeria. He says, now I work as a professional painter. I had to learn handiwork. And he says, thank God I am making more money than when I was practicing accounting in Nigeria. Wow. This message is from Anonymous, and he's sharing a personal experience. He says, I left secondary school in 1996 in Agbor, Delta State. While I was in junior secondary school one, they brought heavy equipment in wooden boxes for technical training and woodwork. He said that was what the teacher said, but they never opened the boxes or installed the machines. Only God knows what has happened to those machines. Let me head to the phone lines. All our numbers are ringing. Hello, tell me your name, where you're calling from, and straight to the point so that we can take as many calls as possible on the show today. Hello.
Hello, Chukwudi. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Emma Adem.
Emma Adem, you're welcome. You have 60 seconds. Go on.
I don't want to discuss about what you are discussing. I just come to hear that you are the same student from Ajimoni Grammar School, Okota.
Oh, interesting. Emma Adem, Ajimoni Grammar
yes.
School.
What, formerly Emma Udo.
Emma, what class? What class?
1992 section.
You'll be my senior. Well. Good to see. Good to hear. Thank you so much. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. What's your
name? Yeah, I've been following the program.
Yes.
Since you started.
You're welcome.
And last week, I went to tell Zankuri that Chazi document all these things as a writing and give it to each state government on how they should use what he is analyzing to affect humans. Because the only thing I see from this presidency, this one wants to say Namidu Road. This one wants to say it's my time they do the bridge. But does it really have economical value for the subject? Are they living up to the standard? Those are the areas that development is all about. Mm. Then you say you are a governor in a class of a public school, more than 45 people. Is that development? Can they build more school? How many years did it take Jakonde to build all the schools in Lagos? Mm. So I think that accountability is what Nigeria is lacking. And the internal auditor and external auditor, they aid them to embezzle this money.
All right. So sorry about that, but thank you so much for your contribution. I'll take two more calls and return to Rotimi. There's a message from Dusseldorf in Germany. He says, some German trained technicians where I work are training Nigerian university engineers in a company in Nigeria that I won't mention here. Honestly, Nigeria has not started discussing its problems at all. greetings. Thank you so much, all the way from Dusseldorf in Germany. Hello.
Hello.
Please turn down the volume of your radio set. Turn down the volume of your radio set.
Hello.
I can hear you loud and clear. What's your name and where are you calling
Good
from?
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. What is your name?
I'm Mr. Jonah from Igondu Ikotu.
You're welcome, Mr. Jonah from Igondu Ikotu. Go
on. I'm a cautionary, sir.
Okay.
The issue that I have in Nigeria, they don't recognize us, and we are the one that keeping the environment clean. We sometimes we feel embarrassed because they don't equip us, and the way they are doing us is not good. And you look at the environment, it's dirty, and it's not good for business. It's not good for a conducive environment. So government should do something. That's my problem.
All right, thank you so much. He says government should do something. Equip those who are skilled in carrying out this task. Hello.
Hello?
I can hear you loud and clear. What is your name and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ikorodu. My name is Kayode.
Kayode from Ikorodu. Go on, 60 seconds.
Please, you see, about acquiring or skill, it now depends on even individuals. Like myself, I did mechanical engineering.
Okay.
And there's one thing I learned. My father is an engineer. And he told me that you cannot just do an engineering without having the practical aspect. And I will tell you now that since I graduated, I've not worked for anybody. I've been working for the past 20-something years on my own. I acquired a lot of skills, both internationally, locally and internationally. And that depends on you. But most of our people, if someone who calls himself a graduate, he didn't want to learn anything practical. Even you are a graduate in polytechnic, they will tell them, you are a graduate in polytechnic, he's not an engineer. He's a technician. And you have to acquire skills so that you can put forward and make it on your own. And you benefit to the individual. I have two workshops in Lagos here which I operate.
Interesting. You know, the determination on your own to acquire the skill. Hello. Hello?
Hello?
I can hear you loud and clear. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Good evening, Chukwudi.
Good evening.
This is Pastor Ladipo.
Pastor Ladipo.
Calling from Morilego.
You're welcome.
Chukwudi, if we are going to get these things right, I think there was a time in this country teaching was a noble profession. Teaching was a noble profession. I remember how we used to respect our intro tech master. He got to a point where, as a matter of fact, some students got interested. I know some of my students fellow students that later became furniture makers and all of that. Now, secondly, I also say this. The politicians, they are in there for selfish interest. So if we return back to that system where teaching was a noble profession, and people will want to join teaching not because of lack of job. They want to join teaching because they believe in it. And they will train people and teach them very well. Thank you. Until politicians should make provisions, and they should be paid less. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Back to you, Rotimi.
Well, you know, the investment in education is so poor and it's about to get worse.
It's about to get worse?
I mean, already you have 20 million children out of school, which tells you that you don't have enough schools and you don't have enough teachers. I mean, that is the evidence looking at us straight there. If you want to fix that problem, you go to the states and local government pro rata where the out-of-school children are. If there are 2 million children out of school in your states, you divide by 25, you get the number of classrooms, you know the number of teachers and teaching assistants you need, and all the equipment that you need to teach those children. That's how to do it. So if you need 15,000 schools in your state, go and start. If each of those schools have 40 classrooms, that's where you start. Now, if you make that investment, and guarantee the working conditions of the teachers, then the teachers can help you to generate the skills.
Mm.
So this idea that you never get work if they manage one teaching position somewhere. You have youth coppers who are young people themselves. Many of them are children, really, 18, 19, or if you want, young adults, if you want to be fashionable, they are trying to find their way in life. So many things they don't understand. They have not learned how to impart knowledge, and you go and put them in a school somewhere to teach.
Mm.
What do you think the outcome is going to be? You don't just have to be intelligent. You have to learn how to impart knowledge. So here they say, the person don't make the main cutoff mark. They do education, and then you shake your head. What do we think the outcome is going to be?
Hmm.
So that investment needs to be made so that the quality of education, the working conditions of teachers are upped, and we have enough schools that are equipped to impart that knowledge. That is the only way out of this problem.
Very true.
Skills. All the most developed countries in the world, the two things they have in common are skilled workforce and gender equality.
Mm. When we return after the break, we'll carry on with some more interesting conversation and get feedback from our listeners. Please stay tuned to 99.3 FM Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is The Public Square.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome back to The Public Square with Rotimi Sankore. My name is Ezugu Chukwudi. Now, this is the home run. We have, say, around 10 minutes until the end of the show, but I promise that I'll take as many calls as possible and feedback from our WhatsApp platform. Remember, this is a special edition, and the focus is on World Youth Skills Day. In 2014, I told you from the beginning, the United Nations General Assembly declared 15th of July as World Youth Skills Day. And this is to celebrate the strategic importance of equipping young people with skills for employment, decent work, and entrepreneurship. The theme for World Youth Skills Day 2023 is Skilling Teachers, Trainers, and Youth for a Transformative Future. This program is supported by the Africa Center for Development Journalism, the Collaborative Media Project, and the MacArthur Foundation. I am going to try and see if I can get feedback from Twitter at Rotimi Sankore, at Public Square NG, and at Nigeria Info FM. But there are tons of WhatsApp messages, people from different parts of Nigeria. There's this message from Harold. Harold from London says, he's talking about handymen in the United Kingdom. People like plumbers, carpenters, builders, painters that are making serious money. He says they are making serious money. You're trained, you get certified, and you go about the business. This is not where you come and laugh at somebody and say, na carpenter. He said, carpenter, lunche. Your father is a plumber. Woo! No. These people have obtained these skills. They are highly sought after in these societies, and they earn, quite the sum. You would recall that Rotimi Sankore mentioned that a train driver, for example, earns as much as, depending on the level, earns as much as a doctor or a lawyer, unless you are highly specialized. So this is not where you now laugh at somebody and say, not do this thing. We must begin to focus on these areas and try to see how, young people, given our population demography, become skilled and how they can add value to society. Rotimi, I hope you are back now. This is the home run. We have 8 minutes up until the end of the show. Over to you.
Yes, Chukwudi. It's also important to underline that investing in the skills, which is the whole point of the World Youth Skills Day, is not enough in its own. They also have to invest in the overall, this is the government, in the overall economy and the infrastructure. so that the people that then have these skills can then service the economy. It's really important. I mean, one of the reasons why the handyman mentioned and as much as has been mentioned is also because other skilled workers have disposable income. So with the disposable income, they own homes. And if you own the homes, you want to do it up. So the electrician, the plumber, the gas, the person maintaining the gas and so forth like that, either from a company or from Smith and Son, maybe some guy or some lady and her two or three children or relatives, if it is a family business. So this is the really important thing. The disposable income is available. So if you have in Nigeria, as we have now, 133 million living in multidimensional poverty, I mean, if you didn't hear the figures at the beginning, just go to at Nigeria Info FM on Twitter or at Rotimi Sankore or at Public Square NG and then look at the data again. 20 million children out of school. 33% unemployment, 53% youth unemployment, 60 million with no skills to read and write, 63% of the population in multidimensional poverty. So this is all part of the problem. We have to see the big picture. You invest in education, invest in the youth skills, and then if you invest in the infrastructure and key sectors of economy, skilled workers get jobs. They can be entrepreneurs. Everybody has disposable income. Then the whole thing feeds off each other. I mean, people will be surprised to know, for instance, that if you live in a developed country and you are a surgeon and you are a brain surgeon and you have to go to work, but you have two small children, if you are going to hire somebody to look after the two small children, the person can earn as much as $1,000 or $1,500 a month. No? Yeah. And the more skilled the person is, the more the person will earn. If the person is certified, for instance, to look after children, it means in terms of, you know, behavioral training, education, and so forth. That's why you see reasonable, successful people there. They just hire somebody who is like a deputy parent. And that person is a skilled worker. The person can make food for the children. The person can teach the children. The person can, you know, not this thing you have here where you call daycare, where if you drop your children, your heart will be in your mouth, whether you will meet the children when you go back. Wow. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to look at that big picture. Investment in infrastructure, investment in key sectors of the economy, then investment in education and skills. You mentioned Twitter, Chukwudi. Let me just quickly, there was one I saw. Shadrach Chris, thank you for the kind words. Shadrach Chris is saying that the government should listen to Nigeria Info at 4 p.m. on Fridays, that it may be helpful. Matthew Atijire, thank you for your kind words. He's saying Friday has to be the best days on Nigeria Info FM. He listens to Sandra from 3 p.m. and Public Square with us from 4. I'm looking for Ambassador. Yeah, Handu, Ambassador 013. He says that even sweepers, gardeners earn reasonable income. Well, that's because, I mean, things like public health and public safety are taken very seriously. So the person who is cutting the tree branches to make sure it doesn't fall on people as they are walking past, the street sweepers in the morning driving the street sweeping cars, not this one we have here where people are almost being knocked down by cars, those poor women, some of them don't have masks and they are dodging cars as they are sweeping in the morning and they are not well equipped to do the job. Hence, small rain like this, if you are on 10 mainland bridge, it will be reduced to one rain lane because the water cannot drain out. Sand and nylon and orishi sachet have clogged the place and you are reduced to one lane. Those women don't have the equipment to be able to do it. So, yeah, I think a lot of the messages on Twitter are, well done, thank you. I can't, maybe you can find some in the studio, Chukwudi.
All right, Madam Romfola from Isolo. Oh, Isolo, stand up, where I was born and raised. She says, gone are the days when we had technical schools built in every village in every state. Let us bring back our technical schools. That is when Nigeria can get it right. Dakpo from Ogba says, how does the federal government source for money to reduce this youth skill gap deficit amid rampaging corruption? It seems we are done for. I am Olodo says, I am not sure how this idea will go down with you all. If all those who go for NYSC went to farming in rural areas instead of going to dilapidated schools in the rural area to teach, because education is of most basic importance. But imagine we could go a long way of solving our food necessities. I believe that it will be a good way of serving the nation to
Chukwudi, not farming for cassava with hand, please. That's why I was saying that farming collective or cooperatives, if the investment is made, mechanized farming. I mean, there are people that studied at Greek in university now that can all join together, form cooperative, the investment is done, they process the foodstuff, add value to it, they can export it, they can sell it at cheaper prices in Nigeria. But you need infrastructure, you need storage facilities, you need electricity to process and to store food items. So when the president, you know, says that he has announced an emergency in farming, I'm not sure what that means. You know, instead of announcing a farming fund where certified farmers can apply for support for mechanized, you know, for tractors, for all kinds of things that they need to be able to grow their farm produce, to process it, to export, they are telling us that they want to give 12 million households, you know, how much did they say? 8,000 naira a month for 6 months. I mean, come on. I mean, everybody on the street knows how that is going to end. You know, they know how that is going to end. We need proper strategic investment that can add value. Skills, investment in skills, investment in infrastructure that can add real value. So after 6 months, they will tell us that they spent 500 billion naira and then everybody should go and, you know, look after themselves on your 30,000 with astronomical electricity prices, astronomical fuel prices and things like that. No, no. The governments need to coordinate. Any president in this country needs to coordinate with the state governors, the commissioners of education, the commissioners of youth development, with the minister, the ministerial level, you know, and work this thing out. How many schools do we need in each local government? How many skill acquisition centers do we need? How many vocational training centers do we need? What kind of investment do we need in all these youth to enable them to grow their businesses and to grow their skill? Unless that is done, all this funny announcement that, you know, poor people, how do they know that I don't need that 8,000? How do they know? How do they know that the person selling granite on the street does not need that 8,000? The thing is not guided in any way.
Very, very valid. And I mean, it's amazing how time flies. It's say 6 minutes to 6 p.m. and we are pressed for time. But thank you so much, Rotimi, for the detailed commentary and informed data analysis. I am very certain that our listeners had a great experience on WhatsApp. People are full of praises and thanking you. Our phone lines are ringing. I hope that, you know, next week we'll carry on and still have some more engaging conversation. This is to just remind everyone that this special edition focuses on World Youth Skills Day. And the theme for 2023 World Youth Skills Day is Skilling Teachers, Trainers and Youth for a Transformative Future. This program is supported by the Africa Center for Development Journalism, the Collaborative Media Project and the MacArthur Foundation. Please stay tuned to 99.3 FM Nigeria Info.